Welcome to A Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Let us begin this study today by reading a rather extended passage from Luke chapter 2, having to do with an event in the life of Jesus Christ. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was with him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and Mary his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. It came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. As I said, that's found in the second chapter of the book of Luke. You know, biblical writers, those who wrote the scriptures guided by the Holy Spirit, they said a lot in just a few words. Brevity and the inclusiveness of what is said, well, actually, that's one of the evidences of the divine origin of the Bible. As one reads this account, he may see the only record of a mere event in the life of Christ, but friend, there are much deeper and more significant matters being discussed that are of benefit to the soul of man in this account about this event. Now the story tells of something lost. In this instance, it was the Christ, and he was lost from his earthly parents. And Joseph is simply referred to as his parent, though Joseph was not his physical parent, but because he was the husband of Mary, and he was looked upon as being the parent of Jesus by some. And the announcement that something is lost always produces anxiety, especially when it's a person, and with people, or specific and very treasured articles. People don't like to lose things that are valuable to them. And we expend great energies to recover the things that are lost, do we not? We do if we place real value on those things. In the 15th chapter of Luke, we read about one lost sheep and how the shepherd searched diligently until he found it. We read of a lost coin, and how the woman energetically sought for it, that is, until she found it. And more importantly, we read about a lost son, and the great joy at his recovery. Well, that which is lost creates concern. You know, at times, the entire nation, even almost the whole world, is aroused over the report that someone is lost, somewhere, don't know where. Nations pool their resources to find what is missing. But this record tells us that Christ was lost, but he was lost from Mary and Joseph. Now, it's not to be expected that parents will lose a child, but you know sometimes that happens, and such panic runs through the heart of the parents until the child is found. Jesus is not lost because his parents didn't love him. It's not because they deliberately neglected him. They were not bad. They were not irresponsible people. He was not lost because his parents just simply didn't know of his whereabouts. They were just a bit careless. They presumed that all was well when all was not well. And that's a lesson that we can learn that we'll talk about in a moment. Oversight on their part, carelessness, assuming he was among them when they were returning, just assuming it and not being sure. That was their mistake. They went all day long without knowing really where he was. And that was a long time not to check on the location of your child. But we're not to think that Mary and Joseph were totally without blame in this instance. In a real sense, Jesus was not lost, being fully aware of himself, but he was lost to them. But we wonder how many of us are supposing that Jesus is with us, assuming that Christ is with us, thinking that he is among us, but really he may not be. There is a way to know whether he's with us or not, and we dare not make the mistake that they made by just supposing he's with us. We can know. In fact, friend, we should know. We're not inclined to make such a mistake of just supposing when it comes to many matters of life. You know, businessmen have financial success and are very careful to investigate and to make sure that they know what's going on in their business. When one goes to buy a piece of property, he's not content with just supposing that he knows about that property and where the property line is. People do not buy stocks and bonds and other securities just supposing their value. Yet many people today have just supposed that Jesus is with them, but they've not really investigated the matter. Is not the soul worth more than money and property and business and such things as that? And many parents, they suppose too much regarding the welfare of their children without really knowing about them for sure. They suppose they know where they are. They suppose they know with whom they are forming their friendships. They suppose they know what they're doing. And sometimes parents are shocked by the conduct of their children because they've supposed everything was all right. It is a part of the duty of being a father and mother not just to suppose, but to know about such matters. We've been too busy many times, too guilty, even in the church for too long, taking for granted that the young are forming convictions concerning the truth, only to be harshly awakened later on and learn that they really care very little for the Lord and his church. The point is simply this. Don't just suppose. Know about the things that are important. And once discovering his absence, we do see that Mary and Joseph became wonderfully concerned and were busy trying to find him. Where was he? Was he among their family, the friends, the acquaintances? No, they did not locate him there. And they eventually forsook their home caravan. They returned to Jerusalem, and there they found him. Now, they didn't find this youth in the pool hall, at the nightclub, at the dance room, around a card table, or at the local bar. Friend, have you noticed where so many crimes are committed? It's committed by people who seem to frequent these kind of places. coming out of a bar or doing a bar, and that's where a fight goes on, that's where the shooting takes place. People who are involved in alcohol and drugs, they're the kind of people that are creating so much of the havoc in our nation. But Jesus was in the temple of his Father, attending to the affairs of his Father, discussing the way of the Father with others who were present, including the learned men of his day. He was busy about his Father's business. Well, should we not be? And Mary asked her son, "Son, why have you done us this way?" Well, she made a big mistake of thinking Jesus had forsaken them. It really had been the other way around. They left him. This was but the first time and many times that people would leave the Lord. In John chapter 6, we read of many disciples who considered some of his sayings too hard for them, and they walked with him no more. But where was Jesus? Well, he was right where they had left him. He was there at the temple. Now, there are several beneficial lessons for us to learn from this brief account in the event of the early days of the life of our Lord on earth. One, friend, we can leave the Lord and thereby cut ourselves off from him by our sins. Christ has not forsaken the people of the world. The people of the world have not sought him, and many who sought him had forsaken him. He's standing right where he's always stood. And so much of the religious world has completely forsaken the teaching of Christ. Even some in the church have turned their back and walked with him no more. But if ever anybody wants to find him, look for him in the temple of God, and that's his church. That's where you'll find him. And a question that we need to ask is whether or not we're concerned over finding him like Mary and Joseph. They diligently searched, seeking him, sorrowing, but he was where he was supposed to be. And they found him, and we can find him. Actually, Christ is not the one who's lost. We're the one who are lost and apart from him. They did not find Jesus among their religious neighbors. He was not found today among the doctrines and the opinions of men. He won't be found following Martin Luther and John Calvin and the Pope of Rome and the many denominational creed books. To find Christ, people must return to Jerusalem, not suggesting a literal return to the literal city, but this is the restoration plea, back to the Bible, back to that which is revealed therein. We must go back to the events that occurred in Jerusalem concerning Christ, namely his death, his burial, his resurrection, back to the day of Pentecost, back to the time when the Apostle Peter preached that Jesus has been made both Lord and Christ, proving that he's the Son of God. We need to go back to where we can find Christ. We'll find him doing the Father's business of the saving of the souls of men, and we need to be found doing the same thing. He gives us assurance to one and to all that he is capable of fulfilling his promises of eternal life to those that will come to him. There's so many churches in the world. They've started at first one place or another, and then the church might be started by this man and this woman and that woman. But the friend, the Lord built his church, and it's in his church that we find salvation. And it is his church that he's promised to save. It's his church that he's going to deliver back to the Father. Let's go back to the church that belongs to Christ, that started in Jerusalem and was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we'll find the Lord. Who will cease supposing? Who will actually want to know? Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism is the way we enter that church, and that's the way we'll find the Lord. We're glad you listened today. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd.